This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And tonight is a very special night because we're going to talk about identical twins, the karma between identical twins, the DNA between identical twins, and whether or not you think they have the same soul. This is a call-in show, and hopefully we're going to make this into a great talk show. So the phone number to call is 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. Just so you know, I am born one of two sets of identical twins, and I just lost my twin sister to cancer this past month. And the people that run BBS Radio, Don and Doug, are also identical twins, so this is a very timely, wonderful subject. Beyond mind over matter enters the universe, which creates soul over matter. But if you heal and transform the soul first, then transformation in every aspect of your life will follow. There were two sets of identical twins in my family, and my sister and I, my twin and I, were the second set. So what are identical twins? Identical twins develop from a single egg sperm combination that splits a few days after conception. Their DNA originates from a single source. Thus, their genetic makeup is the same as the characteristics that are determined by genetics. And the genetics are identical. They have the same blood, the same skin, the same eyes, the same hair. Everything is the same shoe size, which is amazing. identical twins are always, always of the same gender. In the uterus, a majority of identical twins share the same placenta, but have separate sacs. But in 18% of identical twins, each fetus has a separate placenta and a separate sac. And a very small number, 1-2% of twins, share the same placenta and the same sac. My older sisters share the same placenta and the same sac. My older sisters were very, very close. They walked and talked in their own language, and they did. They had their own language up until their 60s. And they did everything together. They wanted to wear the same clothes. They wanted to do the same things. They became singers. They sang together in harmony, and they sang on television. Way back in early television, they were on Ed Wynn and Your Show of Shows and Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts and all the Sid Caesar doing a commercial that was live. They did live commercials back then. This was in 49, 50, and 51. And they did Which Twin Has the Tony? And it was about Tony Home Permanence. And there were 16 pair of identical twins doing Tony Home Permanence commercials, and my sisters were one of them. Now, there's the other percentage, the 18%, that are in the same sac, but don't have the same placenta. And also, the way that they are carried in the sac is important. So two twins in the same plaque with different placentas, which is what my twin and I had, are going to have a different life than two twins in the same sac with the same placenta. My sisters, my older sisters, were carried one over the other. They have what is called crossed hearts, so that when the doctor heard the heartbeat, it sounded like one heartbeat. So my mother did not know that she was going to have identical twins, but she wound up having them. And of course, when they were born in 1936. We didn't have the equipment or the knowledge that we have now. My twin and I were in the same sack, but we faced each other. We didn't cross over hearts. We were facing each other. Now, usually when twins are facing each other in a womb with different placentas, it means that they're warlike, or it means that they're at odds with each other. Or some people call them mirror twins, and some people call them direct opposites. There's also the head-to-toe a way of carrying twins and the back-to-back way of carrying twins. So there's four different ways of carrying them in the womb. Nancy was the strongest, and she was supposed to be the second born. This is my older sister's. They say that the first born is the strongest and the second born is the weakest. So Clara Mae was not the strongest, yet she was supposed to have been the first born. Nancy was the strongest. But they did everything together. As I said, they walked in harmony, and they even up until their death, they did everything together. They even married the same type of men. It was incredible. But my sister and I faced each other, and we were truly combative twins. We were extreme opposites. We did not agree on anything. We did not get along. Not only did we have to compete with each other, but we had to compete with our older sisters as well. There has not been much scientific study of the second set of identical twins in a family. And the natural burdens that are established before birth are a very heavy karma to bear. Twins can be competitive. They're competitive with each other, and they're competitive for the attention of the parents. So my sisters were a little bit competitive in that matter, but also my twin and I were not only competitive with our parents and with each other, but with our older sisters. So it set up different kind of dynamics than people are used to. So we grew up in the same home environment, but there were many circumstances that created differences in our appearances, our personality, and our interests. We were rarely called by our name, and I want to tell mothers of twins and fathers of twins that that really is not a good idea. It's not a good idea to say, hey, twinny, one of the twins, which twin are you? Are you a little twin or a big twin? The only time that I was called my name as a child was when I got in trouble. And I found that after I graduated from high school and went to work, that when I was called by my name, I would start to shake. And that bothered me. So I had to find out why. And that was why. I only was called that when I was in trouble. So subconsciously, I was believing that I was in trouble without realizing that it was really a respectful thing to do. When I was called by my name, people would say, well, hello, Elizabeth, how are you doing? Or that's okay, Elizabeth. And when somebody would say that to me, that would upset me. And it took me a while to get that healed. As we approached our teenage years, we sought harder to establish dissimilar qualities because we wanted to separate ourselves from each other and be ourselves. And we wanted to establish our individual identities. Well, our parents did not know what to do with that because our older sisters did everything together. They practically followed each other in the shadows, and they enjoyed going to the same places and doing the same things. The detwinning process, which I think every pair of twins has to go through, began, I'm going to say, probably around 7 or 8 with us. And with our older sisters, it didn't start for them until they were in their 60s. The detwinning means that you detach from your twin and become your own individual person or your own individual soul, which is very, very important in a lifetime of identical twins. You must go through it during the lifetime. And we were not completed with that until we were in our 30s. We started younger, but we weren't completed with it until we were in our 30s. The stereotype of identical twins is that they are exactly alike. They look alike. They dress in matching outfits. They share the same likes and dislikes. Parents of identical twins know differently, however. Despite the shared genetic component, identical multiples are unique individuals. Though they share physical similarities, the walk, the talk, and the voice, they have many differences. And this needs to be recognized and honored as twins grow. I'm going to take a little break now and tell you that this is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And I want you to call in if you're an identical twin or the mother of identical twins, or if you have any questions about twins. The number is 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008.
Getting clearer. It may not always give us what we want, but it will always give us who we are. Life is our mirror. Life's getting clearer. It may what we want, but it will always give us who we are.
That was Elaine Silver singing Life is Our Mirror. Life is indeed our mirror, especially if we're identical twins, because when you have an identical twin, it's like looking at yourself. And as I grew up, I always remembered that whatever traits I didn't like in my twin were traits that I probably had as well. So I was just looking in my mirror and trying to work with that. My sisters were born 2 minutes apart. My older identical twin sisters. They began singing in harmony around age 8 and became semi-professional singers in their teens. They loved shopping together and dressing alike, and they loved having their babies and talking about, you know, household things when they got older. My twin and I were more than 20 minutes apart, and we have different astrological rising signs. Very interesting. I am the second born, and I was weaker than she was, both physically and, basically physically. We were 3 pounds each. We were separated at birth, and we were put into incubators for 6 months. Can you imagine? My mother was very ill from our birth. She was older when she had us. And my aunt and her children had to come and live with us for another 6 months after we came home from the hospital to care for the little twins. Mother was caring for the big twins. And so Annie Clara May had to come down and take care of the little twins. And we were held by our mother for a length of time on our first birthday. So there was no bonding. They didn't know these things were important back in those times. And it was very, very interesting about what that does to the person, to the personality, how you view love, and how you have to grow and find love in your life after having such a stark beginning. So this experience, I'm sure, affected Priscilla. Her name was Priscilla, more than me. But who could possibly do the research on this? There certainly was no bonding, but I would love to know if anyone has done research on twins and bonding. As we developed, my twin and I didn't act alike, and we didn't use each other to bond, whereas my older sisters did bond with each other. They were so happy with each other, it didn't matter if anybody was around or not. We were not that way. And our parents did not understand this tendency, and they tried to force us to dress alike and go places together. I did not like my sister's sense of style and her desired activities, and I fought to establish my own friends. Luckily, I was successful. My sister had emotional problems from the time she was 5, and part of it was not feeling loved, of course. So some of the mothers of our friends recognized this, and they would invite me over to their house and call my mother up and say that they wanted their kids to play with me and could I stay longer. And sometimes I was kept overnight if I was very sad. This one woman, her name was Mom Myrose. She was my second mother. She always would keep me overnight when she knew I needed it. So that was pretty neat. So my sister liked to sing and dance, and I liked to be outside with sports, although I loved music as well. Our parents did not encourage us to express our individual interests and kept telling us to be like our older sisters. I was an avid reader and I began writing in fourth grade. In fact, I had a story published at the school when I was in fourth grade. I wrote a story about a little dog saving somebody's life. I loved the world and I loved what it had to offer. I collected storybook dolls and I wanted to know about every culture and every language around the world. My grades were good and both of us were extremely hyperactive. My mother didn't know about cutting back on sugar, and I can remember eating a lot of sugar when I was younger. Priscilla was sad a lot. She goofed off. She didn't study, and she was always up to something. Trouble was her middle name. We used to call her Trouble, looking for a place to happen. She was sneaky and secretive and a bit of a mean streak. As we grew, I began to fear her, and my older sisters disliked her intensely. When we graduated from high school, we each had a saying underneath our picture, and hers was, "You'd never think of the mischief she's planning." That was interesting. And mine was, "Never will she let a dull moment come." Scientists have offered new explanation for the differences between identical twins. There's a natural chemical that they share with each other, but it does modify its genetic material, and it does modify as they grow. These genes act like a gas pedal or a brake, marking them at a higher frequency or a lower frequency. And the research for twins shows that they have this chemical reaction between each other, which is why they can have, somebody might say, paranormal experiences or experiences of dreaming about each other, having seemingly telepathic experiences, knowing what's happening with each other, and that type of thing. My older sisters did have that between them, and it was very strong. Claire May could close her eyes and know what Nancy was doing and who she was with, and Nancy could kind of do it with Claire May, but Claire May was stronger. Her ability to do that was stronger. And the difference increases in age, as twins spread apart and spend more time apart, this energetic difference. The profiles begin at an early age, 3 years old and on, twins start to detwin. And as they grow up, their talents come, and their talents can be different or similar, depending on who they are. And the more that they grow apart after school or after high school or after college, when they grow apart and they marry and they have their children, their chemical matchup between the two of them changes. Now, Dr. Deepak Chopra teaches us that we change our body system every 3 years. Our skin, our nails, our blood, all of that changes every 3 years. So twins change through who they meet, which makes an impression on them, what they eat, which makes an impression on them, what they read, what they watch, what they experience. This all creates their personality. And when twins separate after school, after graduating and going into their own life, then different things happen that make them even more different people. For example, I got married out of high school and had my firstborn. My twin went to college, and she went into New York City to teach school. She did not marry until she was well in her 50s. By the time I was 24, I had my second-born son, and I became a mother. Of course, and I was doing that in the country, and my sister was living in the city. So what I'm trying to show you is how different our lives were, which, of course, would bring us different realities, different expectations, different knowledge, different remarks, different energetic patterns. They changed. So twins can start to look different. They can develop different diseases, and they can slide into completely different personalities. Women who are identical twins differ as to when they begin their first monthly period and with their fertility, or at an age when they reach menopause. That certainly was the case with my twin and I. In my personal research, I am convinced that the difference present are a result of individual souls dwelling within each twin. I believe that we each have a different soul. I do not believe that the soul split and that there's like 12 souls and that we're part of an aspect of a soul and the other is a part of an aspect of a soul. I don't believe that. I believe that everybody has their different soul and they're at different vibrationary levels. If you read my book, Ascension, Accessing the Fifth Dimension, I break this all down. So being that we had different souls, we're going to attract different life experiences. Even though we have a very similar astrological chart, we can go through similar experiences, but the experiences will yet be totally different. For example, when I'm moving, usually my twin is moving at the same time. But it's a different experience because I might be renting an apartment and she might be selling a house. Nonetheless, there is a move and it's always around the same period of time. She's usually ahead of me with it because she was born first. And when you look at the astrology, you'll see that the first one is going to have the experience first and the second one will have it a little bit later on. That's just natural law. And her first boyfriend came around the same time that my first one, our first loves came, and that was at the high school graduation dance where she went with David, who she eventually married, although not right away, and I went with the father of my firstborn. So that was very similar, and yet it's different. If I was sick, I might be sick with a cold, and she might be sick with something else. Very interesting when you look at it all. So biology of twins is the toughest question. How does the environmental influences, such as exposure to pollutants, consumption of certain foods, or perhaps even powerful emotional experiences, produce lasting and potentially life-altering changes in a person who's an identical twin? Oh boy. To me, that is answered by the study of metaphysics, and perhaps this will bring about an intertwining of science and spirituality. My sister started smoking and did drugs at 14. I never smoked. I never did drugs. So that set up different tissues, different reactions to medication, and different physical life experiences with us. I was way more tolerant when I needed to take something, and she was more intolerant when she needed to take something for healing, such as aspirin or Tylenol or whatever it is. The research is significant because how can somebody have a disease like cancer and the other twin not have it or not have the gene? I did not have cancer. My sister went into cancer and she was a smoker. But I will tell you that I believe that I had the tendency for it because they did think I had it at one point. So I just want you to know that when you have these foods that you eat, like processed foods, or you, if you eat the diet soda or anything like this, you can damage your body greatly, whereas the other twin would not do that. If the other twin is a meditator and is eating salads and fresh foods, her body is going to grow stronger. And I find that absolutely fascinating. Okay, so Chris was healthy and strong as a small child, and I wasn't. As a matter of fact, the doctors thought I had TB at age 5, so I was sent to New Hampshire to live for a year with my grandmother. And because I was sent there, my whole life changed. That was a turning point in my life at 5 years old. So that's something that must have been karmic because I certainly couldn't have chosen that by myself at that age. But I went up, and my grandmother was a shaman from Maine, and she began to teach me all of the tricks of shamanism, all the wonderful things. She taught me the love of nature. She taught me the strength of trees. She taught me to worship the animals, to be respectful of the water, to pick up the trash, to do the laundry, to take care of oneself. in a way that you should. At a very young age, I started learning self-responsibility, which was not taught in my house. And I loved my grandmother deeply. And when she got angry with me, I would have a problem with it. Because I never wanted my grandmother to get angry at me, no matter what. But the way that she disciplined was incredible. And some of you mothers that are listening should really get this. It's so important. When I did something that was upsetting either to the house or to her, she would give me a mat that you would sit on. I would call it a sit-upon, and it was made of straw, woven straw, and she would point outside. So I had to go outside, and I had to find a tree, and to sit under the tree. I chose a pine tree, a very strong pine tree, and I always used the same tree. And I had to lean against the tree and feel its strength and bring it into my body and bring the wisdom of the tree into my body. And I could ask the tree with my mind what was wrong, what was out of balance. And when I knew the answer, I was to go back inside, tell my grandmother what was wrong, why she was upset with me, tell her I was sorry. And once I had learned the lesson, that was the discipline. And it was beautiful. It was much, much better than time out. Because when a child is given time out, if they're not given the reason for the time out and they can't come back and tell the parents what they were thinking during time out, besides I want to get up and get away, the children need to be trained to go inside and be able to tell the parent what was out of balance. So beautiful. My grandmother didn't use discipline, harsh discipline, unless you put somebody in danger. If you put somebody's life in danger, you got spanked. So one time my cousin Chucky was down playing on the railroad tracks with his buddies, and they were putting firecrackers on the railroad tracks. And of course the policeman, whoever was downtown, heard the noise and went down and brought little Chucky home by his ear, told Grammy what had happened, and Grammy looked at him very sternly. And boy, she had a look that would knock you over. And when she looked at you sternly, you just got stiff from head to toe. And she handed him a knife, and she said, go out in the field and pick your switch. So he went out in the field, and he cut a switch, and he brought it in, and she would hit him about 5 times on the bottom with the switch, never hit on the body where it would hurt or anything. This was just to give him a little sting so he'd learn the lesson of how he could endanger the lives of others. Now, remember, this was back in the 50s when we believed more in corporal punishment than we do now. But he is a wonderful man. He grew up to be a teacher, and he's one of the most loving people in the world, just in case you want to know how that turned out. I was shy and withdrawn when I was in high school, and I wasn't outgoing. I did a lot of studying and a lot of reading, and I had pretty good grades. My sister was out everywhere. She was out riding with the boys in the convertibles and smoking and having a good time and going to parties with alcohol and all that type of thing. And I had wanted to go to college. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I thought I might want to be a medical secretary. But I wound up going to college for a short time and then getting married and becoming a mother. And after that, of course, there was a lot of more separation and a lot of more twists of fate that affected us. And I'm going to be back and discuss those right after the commercials. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. Be back shortly.
Wisdom Magazine is one of the East Coast's largest free publications, with more than 1,000 distributed bimonthly in 3 regional areas, New England, New York City and New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Wisdom is dedicated to opening the people's hearts and minds to the philosophy, products, and services of the new millennium, bringing love, peace, and positive information into the community. Elizabeth writes the astrology column for Wisdom, as well as a weekly astrology update for the Wisdom Magazine website. Visit us at wisdom-magazine.com to view our web edition. The X-Zone is a late-night internationally syndicated radio, television, satellite, and internet talk show, which deals with a variety of subjects, but usually ones that relate to the world of the paranormal, metaphysics, and the science of parapsychology. It was created by the Canadian broadcaster Rob McConnell and first aired in 1993. The X-Zone airs 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern Time, and is distributed internationally by the X-Zone Broadcast Network. It is hosted by the show's creator and executive producer, Rob McConnell. The X-Zone Radio Show is located in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. The X-Zone Radio and TV Show is the only Canadian radio show that is syndicated to a truly international listening and viewing audience via conventional professional broadcasting and satellite means, not only the Internet. The X-Zone is syndicated on an international basis outside of Canada and has more than 400,000 listeners as an international audience. Listen for Elizabeth Joyce and Rob McConnell on the X-Zone at www.xzoneradiotv.com. Is it a headache or someone wishing you ill? Is a sudden change in behavior due to drugs or the influence of evil? Do you find it hard to pray, to reach out to God? Psychic attack is more common than one might think and is a malady that can be overcome by specific metaphysical and spiritual treatment. Elizabeth Joyce clearly explains what the symptoms of psychic attack are, where it comes from, how you can overcome the attack, and what simple exercises and meditations you can do to protect yourself from future attacks. She compares psychic attacks from days gone by with their modern counterparts and illustrates with anecdotes and examples. Is there any such thing as a ghost, and can they harm you? Can other people's negative and destructive thoughts harm you? If so, you can take steps to protect yourself from these energies. Although you would seek and find help with any physical emergency, this book, Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce, can be helpful by your learning good spiritual practices for clearing away negative energies and keeping up with the housework of the soul. Then, if something overthrows you, there are some good strategies at hand so you can begin to remove them. Learn what to do as well as what not to do. Elizabeth Joyce is an expert on ghost busting, and she has been to court on many occasions helping people get their money back from the gypsies and so-called psychic stealers. This is a book that you'll want to pick up and keep in your library because it's a how-to book as well as an informative book. Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce is available at Amazon.com as well as the website www.new-visions.com. Be sure to pick up Psychic Attack. You will want to hear Elizabeth's personal story as well as get this great information that could be helpful to you and your family in the future. Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce. Opening your spiritual chakras is the next stage of your physical body's shifting reality. Your body is now merging with your etheric or universal body and the new spiritual chakra centers. You will begin to experience a realm of many vibrant prismatic colors and dancing energy patterns will emerge. By opening your spiritual chakras and merging with your universal body, you will come together in marvelous ways, and new spiritual powers will begin to emerge into your body system. The chakras are your major energy centers, and they allow you to transform your physical body and integrate with its spiritual body to function properly in the new fifth dimension energies. To accomplish these complex intertwining procedures, the spiritual hierarchy intends to bring forth 4 additional chakras as soon as possible: the 8th, the 8.5, the 9th, and the 10th. These 4 new chakra centers will permit you to manage the immensity of multidimensional information inherent to your new physical body. The physical body will be walking in sync with the universal body. In addition, the 4 spiritual chakras will transform the other 7, thereby allowing them to take on many new responsibilities. Elizabeth Joyce has created a new CD to help you open your spiritual chakras. This is very valuable and is one of the primary ways needed for you to begin the ascension process and work well in the fifth dimension energies that are now coming onto the planet. In addition to the 4 spiritual chakras and the 7 regular physical chakras, there is an extra chakra, the foot chakra, or the 0 chakra. This is your earth grounding center, and it is located at the balls of your feet. Above the crown chakra are 4 more numbers, 8, 10, 11, and 12. The main purpose of these extended chakras which has always been a part of the energetic field, including our aura, is to enable the individual to tune into his or her inner God self, the divine will, and even the galactic community that surrounds and supports the Earth in its evolution. This is a CD that you will want to have and work with on a daily basis between now and December 21st, 2012. It is available here at bbsradio.com under the Let's Find Out page, as well as Elizabeth Joyce's personal website, www.new-vision.com. Be sure to get the CD Opening Your Spiritual Chakras with music by Richard Schulman so that you can advance yourself and find security in these new wonderful fifth dimension energies. Again, that's www.new-visions.com or bbsradio.com under Let's Find Out. You're listening to Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com, station 1. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. Let's Find Out and our honored guests come to us every other Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you would like to call in and ask a question, please dial 888-627-6008 in the U.S. and Canada. Again, that's 888-627-6008. Now, if you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety, a podcast will be available tomorrow, and you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with our host, Elizabeth Joyce. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out, and now it's time for our Metaphysical Book Corner. Tonight's book is called Opening to Your Intuition and Psychic Sensitivity, Developing Your Sixth Sense by Elizabeth Joyce. This is a series of books of spiritual classes taught by Elizabeth Joyce over the last 3 decades. It's a how-to book, and book one opens yourself up to receive the higher energies and develop your intuition and your wisdom along with your spirituality. It begins with discussing white light, the chakras, the aura, energy and natural healing, ESP, telepathy, past life regressions, and best of all, the seance. There is information in this book along with meditations and exercises to help guide you through these experiences. Opening to Your Intuition and Psychic Sensitivity tells you what to do and what not to do, what to look out for when working with these mystical energies, and the basis for opening up and working with your sixth sense, how to strengthen your mind, body, and spirit. It's a fascinating book, and book two will be coming along right behind it so that you can learn more about dreams, astrology, and other metaphysical subjects. There are 3 books to this series. This is a book to be used as a tool as you develop your spirituality. Opening to Your Intuition and Psychic Sensitivity, Developing Your Sixth Sense, Book 1, is available at Visions of Reality, www.new-visions.com, as well as Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. Go out and pick it up.
Get round and free. you're on the street. When evening falls so hard, I will comfort you. I'll take your part. Oh, when darkness comes
Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and that was Simon and Garfunkel with Bridge Over Troubled Waters. Tonight we're talking about identical twins. I am one of two sets of identical twins, so please forgive me if I become a little emotional. My twin sister passed away on the 18th of July, and she passed away from pancreatic cancer. And I played this song tonight as a tribute to her, because even though we did grow apart after we went our own way, which I have explained thoroughly in the first half hour of the show, there was something there. There was a connection there that was very metaphysical, very mysterious. I always knew when my sister was in trouble, and I always would send energy. I was born a twin, but I was also born a psychic. I was born with a veil over my face. And I was, and my sister was not, even though we were in the same sac, in the same environment, but we did have different placentas. I was born with a veil over my face, and I always had this intuitive gift. And it's really been a lifetime of blessings for me, invaluable, and it has also been a gift to help other people. One time I was in Hawaii, it was in 1986, and I was meditating. And I all of a sudden went into a shock, and I started shaking, and my teeth were chattering, and I didn't know why they were chattering, and I got very, very cold. There were about 30 people in the room, and they saw what was happening to me, and they came over to help me. And my teacher worked on my energy for a long time, and she said, I don't know what's happening, but it has something to do with your twin. So I finally was able to shake it off a little bit, and I went to bed, and I did have a dream. I dreamt that my sister went over a cliff, and I was in the car with her, and I jumped out of the car and ran around to the front of the car and put my hand up to hold it up, and I was calling in all the angels, St. Michael and your legions of angels, come and help. And I stayed right with that car until it backed up on the cliff. But Mahavatar Babaji, the wonderful invisible master teacher, Mahavatar Babaji, came, and he stood by me, and he started showing me every single mean thing my sister had ever done to me in her life. And it was quite a list. And every single time he would say something, I say, I don't care. This will not happen. I do not care. This will not happen. And finally, the car got backed up onto the cliff, and I was exhausted. So I went into a deep, deep sleep. And when I got up the next morning, I was on an island called Maui, Hawaii, and it was November, and my sister was in New Hampshire visiting my parents. And the night that I had had the dream, she was driving back to New York City where she taught school, and there was a little bit of a snowstorm, and she slipped on ice, and her car went over a 30-foot ravine. And she walked away without a scratch. She didn't have a scratch. She didn't have a bump. Nothing. She walked away without a scratch. She didn't even have to go to the hospital. Everything in the car was crushed except for where she sat. Now, that to me is a miracle, because that happened at the exact same time that I got cold and had that experience where everybody was working on my energy. Bridge over troubled water, like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. And this is what happens. This is what happens when we walk in the oneness. And this is what happens when we have a faith that there is a connection between all of us. Yes, it is stronger with identical twins, but we certainly do have this connection with people. I tell the story of the mother that was in California when they had the earthquake in 1995, I believe it was. And she woke up in the middle of the night and her daughter was standing at the edge of her bed calling her name, only it was her daughter's spirit, her daughter's universal body. So the mother got very frightened and she got up and she got in the car and she ran over to her daughter's apartment, which was across town. She had the keys and she went in and her daughter was on her bed asleep. And the picture above the bed had fallen in the earthquake, crashed on her head. And it was glass, so it was splattered all over the bed, and she had been badly cut. So by the daughter coming to the mother in that dream, the mother was able to save her life. This is the phenomena that we call magical, mystical, whatever. I call it the fourth dimension, and I think that we all have this ability. And I think that we're all connected to everyone else and our loved ones especially. So, you know, the twins are so characteristic alike and they may have opposite dominance, opposite thoughts, opposite desires. One might be shy, one might be outgoing, but there is a wonderful, wonderful genetic code between the two of them that's indescribable. So I want to honor being a twin and I want to honor letting everybody know this special connection. So twins also, the research is about twins. Want to have more far-reaching revelations about the environment, the breeds, the predispositions of twins, and how disease begins on the body. Diseases like diabetes, cancer, and heart disease. Human cells have tens of thousands of genes inside them, each with its own job to do, such as producing energy or overseeing cell division. But only certain genes are active at any given time or in any type of cell, while the rest are appropriately dormant, allowing for a grand orchestration that adds up to a smooth running life. And that can change with twins. When you have thoughts, Louise Hay, one of my wonderful teachers, teaches that thoughts are things. And when you have thoughts that are negative, that are damaging, that are destructive, they impact your body and they impact these cells. They change your predisposition to something joyous and happy, to something negative and sluggish. And that is when disease steps in. Disease steps in when your vibration is low, when you feel down and out, when you feel that there's no hope, when you feel that there's no reason to move on. Then you begin to die. Your whole disposition begins to die because there's no life. There's no light. There's no, okay, I got that done. Take a deep breath. Let's start the next project. What's up for me today? Yesterday, I completed this project. And today, I know I have something else to do because it's a brand new day. And another thing that's taught by the spiritual people is that every day is a new day. And so you don't have to hang on to your disappointments and sadnesses in the past. If you can look to the future, look to your life, look to your breath, look to the sun, and look to your life about what's ahead for you, you can always make it positive by what you think and what you choose to do. If you have a day where you don't really have much to do, create something. Go to a nursing home and help. Call a church and find out what you can do to help them. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. And you're in charge of your life and you're in charge of your decisions. And as you move forward in life with your decisions, you can uplift anything that has been flattened through hurt and upset. You can do it. Also, vibrations and prayers and music affect you. And that is why twins have personality differences. And my twin found her peace. It took a long time. It took cancer, and it took this kind of emotional starvation or emotional abandonment to bring her to peace. When we were in Johns Hopkins, I stayed overnight, and I sat by her bed, and something made me reach over and hold her pinky. The minute that I did that, we were both out of our body, floating over the hospital bed and the chair I was in. We were together. There was no personality. There was just giggling. We giggled like kids. And she said to me, "You used to do that when we were little. We used to do this. We used to hold pinkies." And it was like we were floating. There was no pain. There was only joy and pure love. And love, forgiveness, and togetherness. It was beautiful. This lasted for 18 hours. And it was just so divine, I couldn't believe it. I was in ecstasy. And as a matter of fact, I felt the energy change back to the personality at the end of those 18 hours. And I was sad because I had loved being in that space. Love is the answer. Love is always the answer. And it's hard to get there for many, many people, in families especially, to let go of you did this and you did that and understand that the family is a unit. It is a special unit. It's created by the divine. We choose our family. We choose our siblings. We choose our parents for the growth of our soul. And if we can always remember that, then maybe we can get beyond the pain into the love. This is Elizabeth Joyce, and tonight has been about identical twins. Next week, I have a guest on the 26th of August, Stephen Lewis. And Stephen Lewis is the founder of the AIM program at energeticmatrix.com. And we're going to be talking about identical twins, and we're going to be talking about the impact of energy on identical twins as well as other people. So make sure that you listen to that show. It's now time for the meditation, and we are going into the meditation. I'd like to play the song first. It's by Elizabeth Hepburn. It's called Love is the Answer. And then we're going to go into our meditation, which is a meditation about oneness. Please join me next time. Elizabeth Joyce at bbcradio.com. Let's find out. We always find out, don't we? Thank you and good night.
Us with every breath we take. Smell it in the beauteous rose, hear it in the sweet bird's song, see it everywhere you choose to look. Love lives in us every moment. Feel it deep within your soul. Feel it in your beating heart, feel it in your hearty laugh, feel it in the warmth of every touch. How can we ever doubt it, think we can live without it? Love is the answer in our lives. Feel love is all around you, breathe it in with every breath. Surrounds us every moment. Let it guide you through each day.
let your life be full and free, fragrant, joyful, then you'll see every gift life wants you to receive. Let love perfume your body, let love caress your mind, let love embrace your world, releasing ties that bind. Love is the only answer, love will free all the bondage. Make love the answer in your life. May love perfume our bodies, may love caress our minds. Love is the answer in our lives.
Tuning into the world around you and experiencing the vibrations of the new energies is nothing short of magical. We will now begin the Oneness with Nature meditation. Sit still with your feet on the floor and your hands in your lap. Take a nice deep breath in. Let it out. Breathe in. And release it. One more time in. And let it out. Now feel your spirit. Imagine the energy that is the real you as it flows through your physical body. Sense the vibrations as they course through and around you. Expand your energy and sense the lightness of it. Now contract your energy. Bring it in nice and close to your skin. Now that we've experienced these sensations, let's send our spirits out into the world. Let's become one with everything around us. Imagine your energy expanding and flowing from your body in every direction. Allow it to flow into the floor at your feet. Experience the energy patterns in the tile or the carpeting. Become in sync with it. Expand out now to the chair and become one with it. Push yourself out to the walls and become one with the entire structure of the building. Now move out into the grass. The flowers. Really feel the vibrations of the soil. Now move into the trees growing from that soil. Feel the birds in the branches of the trees. And go out into the very air that whispers through the limbs. We are the stones. We are the water. We are the asphalt. We are at one with everything around us. we send out love. And we feel the love return to us. This is true bliss. We now are the purest form of our beings that we can ever be. Now gently, very slowly, bring yourself back into the tree and down into the soil, across the grass and into the building. Now feel your spirit as it comes back into the room, across the floor, back into the chair, and finally back into the proximity of your physical body. You can begin to wiggle your fingers and toes and bring yourself back into your waking consciousness. Thank you.